Hello, and welcome to the monthly comic spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mann. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. In this monthly comic spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're going to be discussing some of the comics we got in October 2020. James, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing well. We are recording this on election night, or election day.
Election day. I have not seen any results of it yet, so...
Me neither.
I'm going to assume that everybody in the world is happy with how it came out so far.
Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm... How many comics did you get this month? Let's go with that.
I was actually just looking at that. I looked in my chart, and I have 98 comics.
98. That's more than I've got. And
which is, it's way down for me, I mean, compared to what I used to get.
I've got, I think, 64.
Wow. You're a third less than me.
That's, you know, looking at how I was at, you know, 2-3 years ago, that would be like a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to get about 200 books a month. Which was, looking back, it was just insane, and it wasn't very fun.
I was getting that much, and some of them were better than others, of course. When you're getting that much, at least when I get that much, it's on the theory that I'm going to get all the stuff I would enjoy, and probably quite a few things that, maybe not this month, maybe next month, I'll enjoy it more.
Yeah, and actually, doing this exercise of the monthly reviews has had me highlight in red the things that I'm like, why am I getting this, especially when I see it red two months in a row. And it helps me to kind of, like, curate my list going forward.
That's a lot of why I'd started tracking and reviewing kind of rating everything I'd been getting is to do a little more data-driven of, okay, should I keep getting some of this or not?
Yeah, because if you're not enjoying it, why spend your money? Because I noticed some of them, it's like just this process of I'm used to reading it and going through the motions. And that's not really how I want to spend my time or my money. I'd rather spend it on something good and get a collection, and when I get caught up on the weekly comics, I go and I actually have started reading trade paperbacks and every now and then a hardcover.
Yeah, and that's part of why I'm enjoying doing the back issue spotlights as much as we are, is I'm reading a lot more back issues than I used to.
Yeah, it makes it fun.
Yeah. Now, over in DC, how many books did you get?
I didn't do a count of that, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay, I got it in Excel, so I got 24.
24. I would guess, believe it or not, I think I only had about 18 to 20, somewhere in that range.
Okay, interesting. Any standout is really good?
My biggest thing was actually indie, believe it or not, but that's been getting cut back. The things that stood out to me were Batman 100, Deceased Dead Planet 4. Those were like some of my top two. And then I was kind of borderline on the Batman 3 Jokers. I liked it, but I'm curious because I see after I did my little rating on it, I went and looked online just to see what people thought, and I'm like, it's kind of controversial.
Yeah, I had stated last time we did a monthly comic spotlight that I had a couple of particular questions that I felt this issue needed to answer and that I didn't think it would answer them.
Yeah.
And it didn't. And honestly, I really don't know how I feel about that final issue because it had some good moments.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. It was well done. Some great art, some great story, but it didn't entirely land the ending for me. Didn't answer the questions I had going into it, and I didn't expect it to, and I felt that's the kind of story that landing the ending is really tough to do, and they didn't fumble the ending either.
No, he finished it well. I enjoyed it. For me, it would be like in that B-plus range, you know, if we're rating it. But like you said, I'm like, okay, we went through this, and we're kind of where we were. And I don't know, I feel like the biggest takeaway was the whole forgiveness thing.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that may touch continuity later on. But I think what worked against the story was being told at the same time as the Joker War in the Batman titles.
I agree.
And also having read the Batgirl issue that concluded that run with issue 50. That didn't really kind of seem to jive with what had been going on in Three Jokers, or really, I liked Batgirl 50.
Okay.
But the backup feature where she's like the most popular hero in the galaxy, it seems like, because everybody's teaming up with her, And I'm like, no, I don't really think she's seen that much outside of her own title for the entire run of this book.
Ah, okay. All right.
It felt weird.
Yeah. My favorite, just so you know, was Deceased Dead Planet. I know you're not getting that, but that was my top book for the month. But the Batman 3 Jokers, the question I have about it, okay, I feel like, okay, we created it, and it kind of explains the differences in the Joker over time. Even though I haven't read all that stuff, I know he was depicted differently, like, in the 80s than he is today, versus, like, early on. And so maybe that having the three kind of explains that and keeps it somewhat in continuity. That's the reason why it was different. It was a different person, you know, at that time. But then also I was wondering that whole forgiveness aspect that happens in there, that story thread, that seems like that's going to really, if this is in continuity, change who Bruce is.
And the question is it in continuity?
And that's what I don't know.
Well, it also comes down to, does it matter if it's in continuity? Because we've only got, you know, another month or two before they kick into the future state stuff.
Yeah.
And then we don't know what's coming after that and if this continuity is still going to be around after that.
Yeah. And by the way, I just figured out how to use Excel. I have 18 of these, 18 DC books.
Ah, nice.
And I just realized it counts for me down in the lower left.
Yeah. You highlight the thing and it does the count.
Surprise.
Believe me, I've used that quite a bit on various episodes, particularly with the sales numbers.
Definitely. So that was kind of interesting. Now, I also really liked – did you like Batman 100?
Overall, I liked it. I thought it was a, you know, kind of decent end of the story arc, good setup for some stuff. It was one of those things that – I felt the timing of three Jokers going on at the same time didn't work in close proximity, but for what it was good. I'm not going to say it was brilliant. I'm not going to say it was, oh my God, but it was fine.
Yeah. What's weird is I like Batman 3 Jokers more than the Batman War. Is that what it's called? Joker War.
Joker War. Yeah.
Yeah. But, issue 100, I liked a little bit more than Batman 3 Jokers number 3. So I felt like it ended kind of good. I liked that it wasn't an anthology, getting that big book.
Yeah.
Reading it as like one solid story. So, and it felt like it moved really fast. And then I realized, because Tiny and it was typing about this somewhere on Twitter, you know, people linked to it, that this was supposed to be Tiny and's last book, which is why it was moving so quickly. And he was supposed to be done at this point. So I was like, oh, that explains why it was moving so fast. Because one of the things, like, you know, with the transition of wealth, I'm like, well, how'd that happen? It just seemed to happen.
Yeah, there's some stuff that is just bam, you blink and it's done.
Yeah. Now, did you get the special on that clown killer?
I did not.
I did not either. But he's apparently a guy named Thambo, so I'm guessing Cambodian character. And the way that they depicted him at the end, I was like, they could be going Asian Robin type thing, or it felt like a Punisher type character coming to the DCU.
Yeah, I think they're trying to go for an anti-hero type with him.
Yeah, almost like the Punisher, yeah?
Or Red Hood.
Or Red Hood, yeah. Which is, you know, now that I've been reading this, I'm like, I should have been reading Red Hood this whole time because I kind of like the character and I've never read the book.
I'd gotten off the book, Red Hood, for a while, just because it seemed to be just aimless. You know, he was with Artemis and Bizarro for a while, then he was training this new group of would-be heroes or villains or something, and then it was just him as an outlaw, and it seemed to kept changing direction.
Yeah.
And I found that a little frustrating.
Well, I can see that. But did you like the way it ended? Or was it just okay for you? The Batman, the Joker War.
It was clearly setting up a new direction and status quo, and I think the entire issue of 101 was kind of explaining the new status quo.
Yeah.
And it's like, this too shall pass, so why get too worked up about it either way?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I didn't dislike it. I didn't like 101 as an issue because I felt it was doing a lot of telling, not showing.
Yeah, I agree.
Every so often they'll do like a back to basics approach to Batman, or he's got to be a team player, or you know, a couple of other major themes that, that get revisited every so often. And this was just yet another one of, you know, the pendulum swinging in a particular direction.
Yeah, I agree. Well, one thing I did notice with my DC books in general, it seemed like, okay, we had the event of the, you know, Batman Three Jokers. We had the Joker War. We have DC's, you know, just a lot of limited things. We have Hawkman, which ended, Suicide Squad, which is ending next issue, which, by the way, I really like Suicide Squad, too. I know you're not reading that.
I'm not reading that, but I think we still have another issue or two of Hawkman left.
Okay, another couple. Okay, I thought this was it. But a lot of stuff's wrapping up. It almost feels like it's the rebooty time. I know that they're coming up with a future state thing.
It's the rebooty time!
Yeah, I'm like, is that a term? I just created it. The rebooty
time. It is
time.
Now.
So it's happening, and I go back and forth on the future state, but I think I'm going to just try it because I looked at the previews, and it's not that many things to get. So I might just grab all the future state just so I know where it's going and how I was even reading something a little bit about the Batman one that's coming out, future state, and how some characters that might be introduced there will actually be picking up in Batman after, you know, everything goes back to normal. So I may pick them up.
I'm seeing future state as being similar-ish in some respects to both Convergence, in other words, it's a 2-month pause of all the regular books, and potentially Flashpoint.
Which could be a big thing.
And Flashpoint actually had some cohesive stories across the different titles and stuff like that, building a cohesive world in the span of 3 months. And some of those characters have been haunting us ever since.
Yeah.
The Shazam family in particular is what I'm thinking.
So it could be kind of important then.
Could be. I'm probably going to get most of the future state stuff because it looks interesting. I like, you know, alternate takes on the mythos. Now, if that was going to be the new direction forevermore for DC, I probably wouldn't be overjoyed with that. But it's going to be one of those things that's pretty much all DC's offering for 2 months.
Yeah. Now, there are two books I wanted to ask you about. But before I did that, I noticed something in my ratings. I'm hating Dark Knight's Death Metal. Because Dark Knight's Death Metal 4 came out, the Death Metal, you know, the Rise, Justice League 55, and the Robin King 1, they were all in my, man, I'm not liking this category.
Yeah.
Are you reading that stuff or enjoying it? I don't know.
I am reading that stuff.
I'm continually confused, and we talked about this at our book club. I think it was Marvin, Viking Joker. He's like, I was like, I'm confused. He's like, I had no clue what was going on. And he's like, I have a lot of DC background until I read the handbook. And I'm like, I didn't get the handbook, so I'm screwed.
If you need a handbook to understand something, it's not a great story.
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
I think the Dark Knight's Death Metal stuff is a darker, more dystopic kind of story than I tend to care for to begin with. It is a crisis story, yet not crisis in name, which I find perplexing. As perplexing as Identity Crisis, having Crisis in the name but not really being a crisis. To my mind, a DC crisis, worlds will live, worlds will die, things will never be the same again.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sort of happening with, you know, Dark Knight's Death Metal and stuff. It's just, I'm not crazy about the art style, the visual, the post-apocalyptic world sort of a thing.
Do you find yourself confused by the story?
I think I find myself apathetic enough not to be confused.
I'm trying to, like, I know what's going on in each book, but putting it all together, I'm just like, this, it just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. I'm like, I mean, I'm sure I could make sense out of it if I really sat down and wanted to study and go over things, but I don't want to do that.
I would not recommend the investment in time on that. And I'm not saying it doesn't have the layers to dig for and all of that stuff, or that I'm sure there are people out there that are enjoying it, and that's great.
Yeah.
That's just not me. I'm not hating it, but I'm not getting anywhere near as excited or interested in it as I was Crisis on Infinite Earths or Infinite Crisis or Zero Hour or some of the other things they've done over the decades at DC.
Yeah, for me, this was the not good one, whereas Joker War and Batman 3 Jokers were really good as far as having, like, three big things going on at the same time.
Yeah, but I think having them going on at the same time did them all a disservice.
I would agree with you on that. It's a bit much on the event side.
Well, imagine how Three Jokers would have played if we hadn't seen the Joker in like 6 months.
It would have played a lot better. There would have been some hunger, some appetite, and people would have been really excited for it, I imagine.
Versus, we're getting a ton of him over in Joker War, and this Three Jokers story is something that they teased back in the Rebirth special, what, 5 years ago almost now?
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah.
So that long of a hard to say build up, but, you know, a tease for it, and then it's hard to live up to the expectations over time.
I agree. Hey, by the way, did you read the new Flash? Because it's, when I say new Flash, it switched to a new writer from Williamson, who had been writing it.
I read both 763, which I thought was a good done-in-one story,
yep.
And then 764, which kind of confused me.
Me too, a little bit.
Because there was a responsometer on display at a museum, and that's the thing that kind of powers the Metal Men. And I'm like, one, does a responsometer really... Is it what it was from the classic days or whatnot, or has that been kind of retconned into unimpressiveness via the current Metal Men series or previous ones? If it does have it, you know, the ability to, you know, toss it into some lead and it becomes this lead, you know, animated robotic creature type thing, would you really want to have that on display anywhere?
Probably not.
And if anywhere, would you choose... What was it, Central or Keystone City, whichever, where, you know, you've got a rogues gallery of, you know, prominent notoriety that goes and robs things on a regular basis?
Yeah, probably not.
Seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. I will say, I think I liked Williamson's writing a little bit more. This isn't bad. It's just I preferred it.
Yeah, I just I've read much better runs of The Flash in the past. So there's a couple of high bars for it to reach up to. And it's not there yet. It's not bad. It's decent. But, you know, like with the recent one with Dr. Alchemy and stuff, you know, it's hard for me not to compare that to one of the earlier Flash stories I'd read when it was Dr. Alchemy versus Mr. Element.
Oh, okay.
You know, all right. And that was back in the era when some of these things were you know, foundational aspects of current continuity. Such as it is, we're being, you know, built up and done for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's a fine run. It's decent. It's early in it. But it's, again, there are other things I've gotten more excited about, you know, with that character in the past.
Understandable. And so I'm hoping for good things on the other side of Future State. I really am. Because right now I was, like, looking and I'm like, there's some things I'm happy with and really happy with, but several things just kind of like, it feels like just treading water, wasting time until we get there. Now, are you either into or reading American Vampire or Batman White Knight, the new Harley Quinn thing that came out?
I'm not getting either of those.
Okay. American Vampire completely lost me because it's been years. I mean, years and years since it came out. So it came out and I'm just like, I'm trying to remember what happened. I can't remember the status quo. So I'm like, I think I'm done with it till there's a trade or something. And then Batman White Knight, Harley Quinn, I've been enjoying the entire – I really like them, the Batman White Knight series, the whole world that I can't remember the creative team, but that he was building. But
this Sean one Murphy.
Sean Murphy. This was my least favorite of all of them so far. So I read this one. And I'm just like, it was really slow. It was dealing with Harley Quinn, the mom. And I'm just like, it just didn't hook me. This one.
I can understand that. It was one the solicitation didn't hook me enough for me to say, yeah, I should go get that.
Yeah, so I that's one that kind of disappointed me a little bit. Hawkman was good. Did you read Hawkman?
Yeah, enjoyed Hawkman and stuff.
It appears to not end well.
I really hope there's a clear replacement title after the series ends.
There has to be, because it's weird. Like, Venditti, they kind of bounce him around, and whatever they put him on, I really love. And then when he leaves, that title tends to not do very well for me. So I'm hoping maybe they'll let him continue, but who knows.
I really hope we get a JSA series, frankly, by this creative team.
That's what I was surprised about. I thought this was going to lead into a JSA thing, but it seemed to have left that thread in, you know, this issue. But maybe we'll just circle back.
Yeah, yeah. You never know. It's hard to tell where they're going and if they're going anywhere.
Yeah.
But I think it was certainly testing the waters for a JSA title.
I agree. I'm with you there.
So, trying to think if there's anything else worth talking about at DC.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff that I didn't care for I could talk about, but who wants to do that?
Yeah, we've talked about, I think, some of the highlights and stuff. They had some other stuff. You know, Nightwing is back being Nightwing in his title. That's nice.
Oh, maybe I can read it again.
Yeah, start with 75 or whatever. Well, around there.
Okay, cool.
Because that's one of those where the story gets a little convoluted because it was sort of part of Joker War, sort of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it went to the whole memory loss and then the team of Nightwings. That's when I was just like, I don't want to read this anymore. At least not right now.
That's been resolved. You can now get back on the book if you want to.
Okay, I'll look for jumping on then. Let me know.
Yeah. Shall we move over to Marvel?
Yeah, let's do that.
One that I want to get out of the way just off the top. Did you read Doctor Doom number 8?
I did not get it in my shipment, unfortunately. So that's on the way to me. Okay. Did you read it?
I did.
And how did you like it? Tell me.
Did not.
Oh, was it bad?
It had a storytelling technique that just didn't work for me. The entire story was told via captions.
Oh, gosh.
It was an illustrated story, not a standard comic book story, and it really kept me from getting into the story.
Oh.
And if it were the first Doom book after the pandemic hiatus or whatever, I would have been a little more understanding if it was resetting the scene or something, but I don't think it was.
Ah, so that's not good. Well, so I didn't get it in my shipment, but maybe it's good. I didn't get it.
I don't think there was a single word balloon in the entire thing.
Wow. And, wow, that's not good. That's basically like reading pictures in a book.
Yeah, and that's a perfectly viable storytelling mechanism. It's not what I expect out of a comic book.
Exactly. If I'm going to do that, I'd rather just read a book about the thing and maybe have some pictures inside the novel. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. That's not promising.
Now, on a related note, did you read Fantastic Four 25?
Yes, I did.
Man, there were some major status quo changes to a couple of characters, both in the lead story and in the backup feature.
I actually loved that book.
It was great. Like it was terrific.
I would have given it an A+ if we were rating it. I was like, man, that was a fun issue and a lot of cool stuff that changed. And they can do so much with what's happened in this book.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have gone with the A+, but certainly this is a good, solid run on the title.
It's been really good. And what's funny is Dan Slott, I know you don't like to use this term, but I'm going to use it. His Iron Man run sucked. No, I didn't care for it. His voice of Iron Man was not good. But when he came to Fantastic Four and when he was on Spider-Man, I feel like that's his voice. He has, I don't know, just a knack for writing the characters, and I love it.
He gets the familial aspect of the Fantastic Four. The characters feel like how they ought to feel, if that's not using the word feel too many times. And it's a fun read, and he's doing some just great stuff with some of the guest characters he brings in, and how he's kind of, you know, introduced a couple of now permanent, at least for a while, you know, members of the cast and stuff like that. It's a title I really enjoy reading every month.
Yeah, that was my pick of the month this time we're doing this for Marvel. Okay. That was probably the best read I had. I mean, now there was others that were really good, but that was my favorite. And I especially like we were talking about. I like that thing with the gate, because I think that will come into play in Marvel continuity for a lot of stories in the future.
Yeah, I think there's a lot in that issue that we're going to see ramifications of going forward. I can't see how we don't.
Even the characters at the end, you know, in that kind of like the backup story, it's kind of, you know, we've got to see that happen again since way back at, I think that was Original Sin.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pulling from some old threads or whatever, but it did it well. It got things, you know, gave context for it and whatnot. So it's not a, well, what the hell is this sort of thing?
Yeah, so that read made me happy. That's probably – and that was better than the Fantastic Four Antithesis, which was still a good read, but it was just better. It seems like – by the way, Fantastic Four Antithesis, I know you're not getting it, by Wade and Neil Adams.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like they're having a lot of fun with it right now.
Good.
So it's just fun, and they're doing kind of zany stuff in it, but it's just a 4-issue run, and they're up to issue number 3.
Yeah, and that's the kind of title that you've got to give it a little leeway as to, you know, it can play fast and loose with continuity because it's, in my mind, outside of continuity, whether it officially is or not.
Exactly. Yeah. The one that, for me, was the worst book. I'm going to tell you some of the other good ones, but I know you're not getting it. The Marvel Snapshot Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really, really bad.
How
I was
so?
Reading it. just the writing and the art, everything about it. And I'm trying to remember, it's an artist who did Black Kiss, that comic. I don't know if you ever Howard Chaykin. He was on that. So it's a Howard Chaykin book. And Chaykin, when he's good, it can be good. But when he's bad, it can be really bad for me.
His style, I think, at times gets a bit more pronounced.
Yeah.
And when it does, it gets in the way of the story for me.
Yeah, Chaykin was writing on this, and I was just like, not good for me. So it got a good. Now, one thing I did want to ask you about, we got X of Swords. We got, like, number 7. I think we got 8, 9, 10. I think we got, like, 4 things of X of Swords, plus the X of Swords Stasis. We got a lot of them.
Well, I didn't get Stasis because I had forgotten to order it. It's coming for me.
Oh, you forgot. Okay, all right.
I apparently messed up
this week
ordering one or two things. But yeah, we got chapters 3 through 10, or I guess 11 of it this time.
Yeah, so we're halfway through. How are you liking that?
As much as it claims that it's a chapter 1, 2, 3, etc. of a single story, it is not. There's a lot of individual threads that you've got the creation, I think, was whatever kicked it off.
Yep.
Stasis, haven't read it, but I'm assuming it's kind of a mid-touch point kind of a thing. And then we're going to have another part of the framing sequence. So you've got an overarching story, absolutely. But it seemed like for these couple of chapters this month, it was each individual person goes, gets their sword, and then, you know, stands around. And you could have pretty much read them in any order, and I don't think it would have really mattered.
That's the way I felt. Like, good stuff. I mean, I enjoyed it, every one of them, but you didn't need to read them in that 6, 7, 8, you know, order. You could have literally picked up issue 8 and then read issue 7. Because, like you said, they're kind of like a done in one, even though it's not. But you know what I mean.
There was one, I think, with Wolverine that stretched across two things. I think it was Wolverine and then X-Force.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's true. That's
but
very
other
true.
Than that, they were pretty much standalone issues if you forgave the order they got, you know, to the circle at the end in.
Yeah. The one thing I will tell you about Stasis, it you know, if you were worried you're going to have to see about each one of these other characters on the other side, it kind of sped things up a little bit there, I think. And so I enjoyed that it sped it up.
Good, because out of 22 parts, we're about halfway through, and it's like it feels like we're still in the preamble of the whole thing.
Exactly. That's one thing. It's weird. It's because, like, I'm enjoying them, but at the same time, I would say Stasis was probably the best of them that came out because it changed up the speed of it a little bit, and I liked there was some fleshing out of one of the characters in there.
The one that seemed most pivotal to me, because I haven't read that one yet, is Marauders, where Storm gets her sword.
I agree. Yeah, Marauders was really cool, and how that's going to play out and what she did. That one was, outside of that, was probably my favorite. It was really good. Because there's going to be some character implications going forward because of what happened.
There have to be, absolutely.
And there was a lot of trust there and a lot of respect given, and she chose a different route.
Yet the choices that were made by all the characters made sense.
Yeah, it did make it made complete sense. So I really love Marauders. Marauders was one of the best titles even before this, you know, in the X books.
I was a little confused by some of what was going on with New Mutants, where one of the characters had kind of been in hiding, and I'm like, I guess that part had been lost on me.
Yeah, that's true. That he was in hiding, and I was a little bit lost by that. That was probably. I did like the painted art inside. I think it was Rod Reiss did that. But yeah, that one was a little bit confusing as far as that went. But I did like one thing, Cypher, the manifesting of the power.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like almost like it was becoming like a Taskmaster type thing.
To me, that was an obvious way to go. Cypher's power is language. Body language is a viable approach to it.
Which I'm glad they did that, because I was like, why are you bringing this person? I mean, these are warriors, a battlefield, you know, an arena, a contest. And I'm like, you're bringing a person that deciphers things. So, but I like they showed that because, but then, of course, it's obvious.
Well, they kind of had to do that, because I remember when the character was first introduced, and it's like, oh, He can understand things.
Yeah.
Well, that'll get him killed.
But, you know, that take and them doing that, it makes it to where, oh, I can learn from this person, this person, this person, this person, and maybe become the ultimate fighter.
Well, and there's a danger in that of having overpowered the character if you're not careful.
That's where I'm wondering what they're going to do and how they're going to play with it. I don't know.
Well, I think you've got to go with, yeah, you may kind of speak the body language or whatever, universal or whatever, but people can lie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Hey, you're good. So you should be writing comics.
There are ways to get around it, but they need to plan ahead for that kind of stuff.
I agree. Yeah, yeah. So that was all good stuff. Now, let me see. I was going through my books right now. Conan was another one that I really loved, which I knew you're not getting, but I am so happy it's back that I would have given it an A+ because it's been gone since the pandemic until issue number 15 came out. It's a lot of fun. They were in a pit or underground in a labyrinth. There's backstabbing. It's a contest to get out of this labyrinth. Just a lot of fun. And thank you. Conan is back.
Cool.
Now, you're not reading Daredevil, are you?
I am not. I got off that a while back. It's one that I've considered getting back on. I just haven't.
Daredevil, this issue was pretty good, and there was a nice little reveal at the end. So I will tell you that I'm trying to remember the guy's name, the writer, but I can't remember for the life of me. But he's doing a very good job.
Cool.
Yeah.
What did you think of Amazing Spider-Man number 49?
Let me get up there.
That was the one that was also 850.
Oh, yeah, 850. I really liked it. How about you?
I thought getting 3 issues worth of lead story was nice.
It was.
But then we hit the backups. First was okay, the second was to my liking, and the third was good. I just don't remember seeing that character really before. I'm curious to see her again.
Yeah.
It was one that, man, again, like I said, starting with a 3 issues worth of main story to kind of wrap up what they were doing with. Which story was that part of? That was before Last Ride. It was,
Sin Eater.
Sin Eater, yeah, yeah. Which I'm not crazy about the story, but it was a good issue.
Yeah.
You know, and I've not really been crazy about the storyline after it.
I'm like that too. This whole new, what did they call it? LR for Last Rites or something?
Last Remains or Last Rites, something. And what I really dislike about it is not only do we get issue 50 and 51, but there's a 50 LR and a 50.LR or 51.LR as well. It's like, why do these numbering shenanigans?
I don't understand that. I mean, luckily they keep the legacy numbers on there, but they did that once before, I think, with Amazing Spider-Man. They had a dot this, dot that.
They've done it 2 or 3 times before, and one of them was like an embedded mini series.
I think they did with Age of Ultron too, didn't they?
Age of Ultron had a .au on a couple of things. Monsters Unleashed or something like that had it.
I just don't like that. I really don't like it when they do that.
Well, I skipped getting the .lr issues thinking it was a miniseries embedded in a series. And now, based on the checklists I'm seeing, I'm wondering if it's an integral part of the story.
I think it is.
Well, that's unfortunate.
And so you're getting every other book.
I seem to be.
Ah, all right.
But I mean,
the story's not that great, though.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm not too worried about it. If we look historically, though, a lot of people, and again, this would have happened, I imagine it's happening now for X of Swords, where people would get certain chapters and not all of them.
Yeah, like you read Amazing Spider-Man 50, which it's like, you know, where that happened and then a build up to the reveal, you know, at the end. Then the Amazing Spider-Man 50 LR, my notes on this, I didn't highlight it. I was like, good, not great, and Kindred reveal. Someone is back in town. That's what I wrote. I mean, it's not a lot's happening. I just, on the LR thing, is not a good storyline. It's not horrible. It's just okay.
Well, having read 50 and then 51, it's like, I don't care for this story, and I'm starting to rethink, do I keep getting Spider-Man?
I can see that, because the last 2 issues, I basically marked them like in that C range, CC, you know, and
yeah,
something where I'm reading it. But now I think that overall, Nick Spencer has not done a great job in Spider-Man. I would like to see a new writer there.
I don't like the tone and the direction. So yeah, I pretty much agree. It's not that he's writing bad stories. He's writing stories I just don't like.
Yeah, it's just he's not writing them poorly. It's just not something I want to read. He gives you a lot of material to read when you do read it, but a lot of stuff that I don't want to read isn't necessarily better.
But this is the pretty much, I think, the first time since I started reading Spider-Man with the introduction of his black costume and, as part of the original Secret Wars that I'm thinking, do I want to keep getting this book?
I know exactly what you mean, because Spider-Man was always in that, let's say, B-minus, B range type thing. And now it feels like once it went past that issue 850, it's gone in, down into that, this is so-so. And I'm hoping that it's just this LR, or last remains, last rights, whatever it is, thread, and maybe it'll get better. But if it doesn't get better, I may drop it too, and then give me a new writer on Spider-Man, please. Do not give him a run like Dan Slott.
When you lose a reader, now you've got to take effort to get the reader back.
Which is hard to do, because they lost me like on Wonder Woman, and even when they switched to creative team, I didn't notice, so they didn't win me back, you know? And it's like, it's tough to get me back in.
Yeah, comics are a habitual buying pattern. Anything you do to interrupt that, I think, is generally speaking, a mistake.
Very much so.
Unless sales are, you know, so bad that you got nothing to lose.
Yeah. Hey, now, dude, what did you think of Iron Man number 2? I know the first one we were a little bit like, this is different.
I'm still not entirely sure where the series is going. I mean, it's okay. Having Hellcat as Iron Man's sidekick or partner or whatever, interesting. It's just a little weird.
It is. It's kind of weird. That's how I feel. And is his armor that strong with that adamantium / vibranium shell that he kind of, boom, punch right through this?
Sure. Why not? I don't know.
I'm like, what is his armor made of now? I was like, good Lord. That would have me questioned. I was like, question marks? What's going on here? But yeah, that's where I'm like, I don't know where we're going with this yet. Still. Yep.
We're 2 issues in, so I would think we should have an idea of some sort of basic direction. It just seems like the direction is finding a direction.
Yeah, very true. Oh, by the way, I know we did a review, a back issue spotlight. I wanted to let you know Thor number 7 and 8 were both very, very good.
Ah, okay. Good to know.
I really enjoyed them, so later on, if you want to pick up a trade or something, you might want to check it out.
Okay, I'll consider that. I enjoyed what we'd read on the back issue spotlight for that.
Me too. He's still killing it. I think 7 was a great issue, and it deals with the stuff we were, you know, the hammer. Why is it heavy? You know, and what happened with Loki with this hammer? You know, and all that stuff. It's dealing with that stuff, and it was just a lot of fun.
Cool, because I was curious about those aspects.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna spoil it for you in case you read it.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that.
There is other good stuff. Like, I know you're not reading it. Like, Immortal Hulk is solid, you know, month in, month out. So 38, 39 came out. They were really good. Are you reading Maestro?
I am. And is it just me, or does the backup feature only exist to kill off characters?
I think so. I think it does exist just to kill people off.
And they don't waste time doing it, because it's a short backup feature.
Yeah, no, they don't. Boom, gone. I'm kind of liking seeing Hercules in there. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I like seeing that character. You know, get to see Rick Jones in there, which is kind of cool. But it was a good issue, and I like seeing the interactions between just Hulk and Herc. It takes me back to the Jeff Loeb run.
Yeah. I'm curious if we're going to get Amadeus Cho, because he was Herc's sidekick, almost his Rick Jones, if you will.
Exactly. That would be really cool. I would love to see Amadeus Cho. We haven't seen him in a while anywhere.
He was over in Champions.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Champions. All right.
And Atlantis Attacks, which I think is going to restart again after the, you know, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 month hiatus of the miniseries.
That's so bizarre. I saw that solicited. I was like, what? I can't remember what was going on, but I was buying it, and I remember I liked it back then.
Yeah.
Good luck with getting caught up on that, but I did pre-order that a long time ago.
I'm trying to remember when I read the last issue of that, and
probably in February or March.
Yeah, which feels like a really long time ago.
Oh, yeah. We're coming up on 9 months.
Wow.
That's insane.
When the gap lasts, like, twice as long as the series should have lasted?
That's not a good thing.
No.
Did you read that Werewolf by Night?
I did not.
Okay, I picked that up, and I know some people liked it. For me, it was okay at the end, but it was just kind of like so-so, and I don't need to read the other issues. That's how I felt.
Understandable. Understandable.
So that's where I was with that. But those are – I am liking Black Widow too, which there was a memory thing that I told you about in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's done in a nice way, and it's been kind of fun, and I like it.
I didn't read that. I did pick up the True Believers Black Widow Taskmaster one, which is reprinting. I think it was Avengers 196.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I picked that up, too. Did you like it?
Oh, yeah. I love Taskmaster. He's fun.
He's a good character.
It was a good read. I'm trying to think if I have the actual issue. It was a buck, so I figured, what the hell, it's easier than going and chasing down where I've got the issue.
Yeah, now we got to see Taskmaster versus Cypher in the future.
Yeah, yeah. I would put my money on Taskmaster because he's been doing it longer and he's just in better shape.
Me too. I think he'll take the win.
Flip side, Cypher's the better linguist, so who knows if that matters.
I doubt it. That was like, it's one of those superpowers where I was like, man, I hope I would never get that one, you know? I get something better than that.
I was always puzzled by Taskmaster having the ability with photographic reflexes to innately duplicate whatever thing he sees. Okay, I get that. To then become a training instructor for goons. You didn't train to become this skilled. You just are.
I know. It's like, come on. That's funny.
It's like training somebody to be tall or something. It doesn't work that way.
I will tell you some things that I've considered getting rid of.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I've honestly considered getting rid of was Amazing Spider-Man's not doing it for me. Depends on how long I stay with that LR and how – I don't know if I want to stick with it. Guardians of the Galaxy hasn't been that great for me. And then the other one that's surprising, but I probably will stay with it, but I just have not been enjoying the story arc, is Avengers 37. It's been the whole Khonshu or Khonshu. I don't know how you
yeah.
say it.
Well,
I've had enough of that.
That cosmic level story ends only to start another one with the Phoenix stuff, and the Phoenix isn't really an Avengers thing.
I know,
but I mean, we've had okay, so we're gonna have Phoenix. We've just had the Moon Knight God stuff. We had
Ghost Rider.
We had vampires. It's a supernatural title.
Yep.
I want superheroes out of the Avengers. That's me. Other people may be loving it. That's great. I'm not loving this run.
No, it's wacky, zany, and different, but at the same time, it's not working for me.
Well, wacky, zany, and different are not really selling points in my book, usually.
Yeah, not for me either. I was just like, not good. So Avengers is honestly in the hot seat, which I thought would be unheard of. But yeah, it's there. It's close.
Well, I'm at the point where Avengers has been under consideration, as has Amazing Spider-Man. I mean, these are some mainstream Marvel titles.
Yeah, and then there's other titles, like, it seems like the X-Books are great, Fantastic Four's great, you know, Immortal Hulk's great, but it's, like, weird. The things that you wouldn't think would be the flagship titles are really, really good. It's weird.
Well, some of it's just, do they have a take on the title that I like?
Yeah, exactly. So, we're feeling the same thing here. We're in sync.
Yeah, yeah. I will say that I picked up Spider-Woman number 5, because I dropped it before the pandemic, but had like forgotten that when I was filling out my orders after it.
Oh, what'd you think of it?
It was good, just not great enough to get me back on the title. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I think I rated that like a B.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually getting that. I said, a fun ending to their run. That's what I said. Is that the end of it? What did I write?
No, because I think I accidentally ordered number 6, too.
Oh, I'm like, why did I write that? I think I must have been commenting on a different book. Never mind. Yeah, by the way, Howard Chaykin. Chicken? That's his name? Yeah, I really don't like him as a creator. It's just bad.
He's got one of those styles that is noticeable, and it's not a bad style. He fits some titles and books and properties more than others. It's not one I tend to go out of my way to pick up.
Yeah.
Whereas there are some other artists that are enough to get me to try out a book I wouldn't otherwise try.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, actually, this was the middle part of the pack, the Marvel stuff. I got about 30 Marvels, 36, I think. But the biggest chunk of my books was Independence.
I had gotten 22 Marvel books, and I'm just not getting many independent books these days. I got, I think, 18?
Yeah, I got 46 independent books.
Wow.
And there's a lot of red on here, so there's a lot that I need to cut or consider cutting. And I could. I look at some of them, I'm like, yeah, I could get rid of that. I don't need to read this.
What are you liking in this area?
Okay. I really like A Man Among Ye, the pirate story.
It was good, a little middle chaptery, but I kind of expected that 3 issues in, but I'm liking that one. And that's one I picked up because of the artist.
Solid. I like the book. I'm liking most of the AWA titles, including American Ronin was really good. It's the first issue came out. I think it was Peter Milligan who was on it. Solid. Not, it wasn't like great, but it was a solid story. An assassin, you know, DNA memories and, you know, nice cool powers and stuff like that. So it was really kind of cool.
I don't think I'm getting anything by AWA after Resistance.
Oh, okay, okay. Dead Day, that's AWA. Department of Truth number 2 came out, and it's still pretty solid, you know, about people, if they believe in the conspiracies, you can almost will them to be reality. So that's kind of trippy, and it even goes into childhood memories and, like, you know, fears that you had as a child. That's playing into it a little bit, so kind of cool. Firepower, I really liked.
I'm still liking the title. Still not sure where it's going in the long term yet, but it's fun and I'm enjoying it enough to stay with it.
This one was a really good one. I cared so much more for, I can't remember the guy's name, the protagonist I put, and his wife because of this issue. I liked that they showed the love from the past and the stuff with the wife. And I just, even though that's not something in my personal life, I felt there. So when they bring forth my emotion, I'm like, wow, this is a good book. And it reminded me of the overarching story of Why the Last Man, which I really like because that tends to play inside of there. And I thought it had a good cliffhanger, too. And it seems like it's the best Kirkman coming out right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's benefiting from having started with the trade to really give the backstory so well.
Oh, yeah. So Firepower is really good. I also really enjoyed Lazarus Risen, number 5 came out.
Yeah, I'm really liking the longer format. I don't like the delays between issues being longer, and this was a little longer than should have been anyways. Yeah. But yeah, I'm enjoying what he's doing on the title.
I had forgotten about this book. It didn't even exist. It had been so long. I got it. I was like, oh yeah, Lazarus. That's cool. It's like a surprise when I open my box. Lazarus.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's been so long. I liked Orville Launch Day. That was really good.
Yeah, fun read. I'd like to see a follow-up to the story at some point.
Me too. That was a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying Orville. I think it's a solid title. Even though it's a licensed property, that's kind of like one that I'm really enjoying. What's weird is, even though I kind of wrote on the Slack channel about Rick Remender, I'm like, he kind of peters out over time, and I don't know if I really like him long-term. The Scumbag number 1 was really dark, and it deals with some adult topics and stuff, but I enjoyed it. It would probably been like a B-level book for me, so it was good. And the end of Sex Criminals 69 came out, and I thought that ended very nice. There had been such long delays within there that I forgot the main story, but even not remembering it, I enjoyed that. And then some of the other ones that I kind of enjoyed were Stillwater 2, which was about this character that goes to get an inheritance in this town of Stillwater, and you find out it's like a dystopia. Once you're there, you're not supposed to leave. There's death to people who leave, but the people who are there almost can kind of have an extended life. So there's all kinds of cool stuff going in there, lots of threads. And I like Undiscovered Country. It got a little bit better. Even though it got into some politics in there, it was really kind of a solid title. But then after all those things that I really enjoyed, Once in Future was very good, there was a lot of red stuff that I'm just like, I don't think I need to read Black Magic anymore.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's time for me to get off that title too. It's just not something I want to keep reading. It's not bad, I've just lost interest.
Yeah, there was like a lot of stuff. The Marked, I'm finally got to get off that. I'm not enjoying it. Marked number 6 came out, and I'm like, this is not doing it for me.
That's another one I'm probably going to be dropping too.
Yeah, and then I get a lot of these Dynamite books, Vampirella and Red Sonja, and you know, the main Red Sonja title's good. The rest of them, I could really dump them, and I probably wouldn't miss them. So I'm picking up, like, that's going to take care of 5 or 6 titles for me that I pick up.
It's been a while since I've gotten anything from Dynamite.
Yeah, so there's, like, chunks of stuff in here that I'm like, man, I keep getting this stuff, and it's not that great. Seven Secrets, you were reading that. What did you think of that?
I think it's a fun series, which isn't surprising. I mean, Tom Taylor's a solid writer. I'm enjoying it. I think they've been developing the characters well. And I think each issue has enough kind of payoff in the issue that I'm going to keep going with it for a while.
Me too. I'm in there for the long haul. I still want to know what in the heck is the secret.
I don't know that I want to know.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to find out, honestly.
I think he could reveal one secret, but it'd have to be really good to make it seem like the other six are worthwhile keeping secret or something.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, and I liked how the proving grounds between the new trainees and how he was almost tricked the guy who kind of won, but then he ended up losing.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of clever. So that made it fun.
Yeah, I thought the whole proving ground aspect was really well told and showed the characters well.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff I realize I'm getting that's just not that great and I can dump. And there's no sense in spending money and time if I'm not enjoying myself.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to yell at those books or call them all out because they weren't good. But on previous Spotlight, there was one book that I am going to mention, and it was called We Live Number One. And it came out, and I was like, man, the art in this looks really good. I'm going to give it a try. And I even did a clip for the preview spotlight, and I got the first issue. I'm like, well, that art that they showed was the cover art, and the interior art looks nothing like this, and the story I did not enjoy. It was just overall, like, C-, D+. I'm like, I'm out.
I always worry a little when I see some really stellar art for Solicit, and there's a different cover artist, and interior artist, and it looks like the promo art they've got is the cover art.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can't show me any of the interior, you know, that worries me.
Exactly.
If you've got an interior artist that you don't feel is good enough to do your covers, that's kind of weird too.
Yeah. Now, are you still getting Adventure Man?
I am.
Did you like it?
It was okay. I didn't think it was as good as the previous issues, but
I agree.
It's starting to, you know, build up a little theme. It's definitely got a Doc Savage kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, and it's kind of got that middle book-itis, you know? That's what I felt here. I'm like, oh, this was kind of like the boring issue. You know? Yeah, I hate to say that, but you know what I mean. By it's just kind of in the middle, and we're not to where something's going to happen.
It's not the exciting start of a story or the exciting climax of a story. And it's not filler, but it's one of those that, yeah, that's not the issue you're going to point people to saying, wow, this is brilliant.
Okay, because that's kind of what I had wrote. I was like, I put, you know, it's not bad. I was like, this was like the middle issue. That's literally my comments. It's the middle issue, you know, the one that there's not a lot to say about it.
I kind of commented on a number of things on this list overall of, yeah, it's middle chaptery.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that way of like Usagi, it was a good middle chapter of a longer story.
Yep.
Again, A Man Among Ye was good, but middle chaptery kind of an issue and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's different from the day and age where every issue really stood on its own.
Yeah.
And not, well, it makes sense if you had the context. It's kind of like saying you had to be there.
Yeah, it almost feels like when I'm reading, you know, when we have breaks and I'm going back and have time to read trades, and then when I'm doing my scores and I realize, oh, it's that middle part. It feels like, and especially in the indie world, but also in Marvel and DC somewhat, that when they write too much for the trade, that you know they're writing for that book, that happens. And then it's like, I feel like it's a disservice to the people buying the singles. You know, why am I buying? Why am I spending money on this? I should just wait and save my money and get the trade and make it a much more enjoyable story at that point. And at that point, I feel like I'm being abused.
Well, the individual issues are really subsidizing the content creation for the collected edition.
Yep.
And if you're not giving the people getting the serialized version enough material each time, you can't expect them to keep coming back.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's how I feel with a lot of stuff, especially. And I don't mean to say this is a bad thing, because indie comics are great, but they're written for the trade. And if that's what they want to do, that's fine. Just tell me, read the trade. You know, and I noticed a lot of stuff has been happening like that at Image. Like, I'm just trying to think of one. Swing from Matt Hawkins. That's one of the books, you know, that just popped to mind. He doesn't release single issues. He just releases a trade because that's the way he intends you to, for you to read it. And I respect that, you know, give me a trade. Cool. I'll read it. And if I like it a lot, I'll pick it up as a nice collected hardcover when it's all done. But if that's really what you're going for, yeah, don't, you know, string me along with the single issues and make me regret my decision for two out of the, you know, five or six issues.
Yeah, if you're going to do installments for your story, each installment's got to have a beginning, middle, and end, and be satisfying in some way, shape, or form in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say it's got to be self-contained and can have no connection to the other stuff. Not at all. But there's got to be something where I don't need to have memorized the previous X installments of it to understand this or wait for the next handful of installments to get payoff on this.
Exactly. And if you're buying a lot of titles, like, you know, some of these have been double shipped from Marvel and DC, but let's say I got, and I'm just making up a number, 90 unique titles over the month. And I hear some people say, oh, well, I just stack them up and then read them later on. Well, I don't want to have like 50 stacks of five or six comics that are just sitting there waiting to be read. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And especially since we do recordings every month. So I can't let them sit there and stack up, but that would just be a monumental mess. Maybe if you're getting 15 titles, it's not a big deal, but if you're getting 75 or 100 titles, to have these little stacks of five or six of this or that until I can read it all at once, at that point, man, I'm just getting the trade. I'm not going to let this stuff stack up all over the place.
Absolutely. If I had to wait for each story to end to read it in a single sitting and such, just the legwork to know when the story's ended and the next one starts or whatever would be a hassle.
Yeah, at that point, it's really – yeah, I'll read the book. But overall, this was the area where I enjoyed some of the stuff a lot, and there's a lot of stuff that's okay. But I can just eyeballing it, looking right now, I'm like, man, there's about 15 titles I could chop real quick, and I wouldn't miss it, and it really wouldn't impact our discussions here. And it's just stuff that isn't that great, you know, and I don't need to be buying, you know. Black Magic being one of them.
Well, it's interesting because for my group of titles in this area, there's a couple I probably will drop, one or two that are going to end and get replaced, probably two others I could drop without missing them at all. And they're fine books. They're decent. But yeah, there's not a whole lot that it's like, wow, I've got to keep getting this. Or even if they're ones I'm really enjoying, like Orville, it's like it's not like that's going to be coming out each and every month, you know, for the next year or something.
No, sometimes it comes out and then sometimes it's just not even in previews, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They tend to do, you know, two issues or two issue arcs or whatever, and maybe they'll bundle two of them together. They've got a trade or something, but then it may not show for another 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, Lazarus, I love it, but I don't consider that a monthly title. It's more like a mini trade that comes out once a quarter. You know, like of the titles that keep coming out every month, there's probably about five or six where I'm like, I have to have that. I have to have that. And the others, it's kind of like, oh yeah, that's good, but I don't have to have it.
Man, I would say right now, looking at this entire list of what I got for the month, the number of I have to have that sort of titles, not that high.
Yeah. So, and it's sad because I know this goes to the creators more, but at the end of the day, it's my money and my time. So I don't need to be, you know, paying for anyone's lifestyle. I'm going to pay for what I enjoy.
Absolutely. I think everybody should do that, and everyone's going to enjoy different things.
Yeah.
But I prefer it when there's a lot of titles that, man, I just can't wait for that next issue versus the, oh, yeah, I guess this one's still being published.
Yeah. And I'd say, like, you know, just eyeballing the list, some of the ones where I'm like, I have to get this. Right now, I would say Firepower's one of them. Lazarus Rising's one of them. See, a lot of them that I even like, I could do without. Man, that's kind of sad when I do it that way. And maybe Department of Truth. And besides that, I like the AWA titles, but if I wasn't reading them, I don't know if I'd miss them. You know what I mean?
Well, it's the kind of thing, if you could only get X number of issues, what would they be sort of a thing? There are times where it's like, man, it would take me a while to whittle it down to that. And honestly, right now, based on this month, say it was, you know, 10 issues over the course of the next month, it might take me a little bit to build up to that.
Yeah.
Because part of it right now is we're in a really strange state where a lot of things are pretty much ending soon anyways.
Yep, because it's like the end of the year, stuff's being solicited, you know, in January, but it's They know it's a slow time. So, yeah, it's a weird time.
Well, and we've got Future State that's going to, you know, put everything on hiatus over at DC for a while. I'm not too keen on some of what's going on in Avengers and Spider-Man and such.
It's a very weird time for Avengers and Spider-Man to be, like, the not great titles of Marvel.
Yeah, yeah.
Just very weird.
And again, I'm sure there are other people that are loving what they're doing on those books right now, and that's great. It's just not working for me.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
Yeah, that's kind of where we are. But anything else that stood out to you? Anything good or bad?
Let's see, we talked about Lazarus Riddens and Orville and Seven Secrets. I enjoyed Bang. I thought it's been a solid read so far. I mean, each issue has kind of introduced a different lead character, and they all get together at the end of this, and we got one more issue left.
Cool. So
it's kind of weird pacing, but it's generally working. I'm curious if they're going to land the ending.
Yeah, and that one I may check out in the trade because you told me it was good, and I never picked it up. So
yeah, I've enjoyed it, but again, not sure if it'll the fifth issue. If it works, great. If it doesn't, it could really sour me on the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then the other one, which was one of the books I probably enjoyed the most this month, was Walking Dead Deluxe number one. Still a great first issue. There were a couple of pages of bonus features at the end. Don't know that I'll be getting this past probably the first six issues or not, because I've got, from seven on in the regular series. But yeah, it's good stuff.
See, I thought about picking it up, but I'm like, well, I already have all this stuff, but it'd be kind of cool. I bet you, even though he said it's not going to be collected, they're going to collect the color edition of Walking Dead.
I would be amazed if they didn't.
I know.
If he's smart, he'll wait a good while.
There was something done by Brian K. Vaughan, The Walking Dead, and they said this will never be collected, and then they collected it. Sure as come on.
Well, it was done for Panel Syndicate. I think it was Walking Dead the Alien or something like that.
Yeah, I'm like, anytime they say that, I'm like, nice marketing, guys, but I'm not that dumb.
Well, when Panel Syndicate says we have no plans to put this in print, I'm willing to believe them. But if somebody says we would like to put this in print and here's some money, I expect them to say, oh, okay, we'll consider it.
Sure. And Robert Kirkman has deep pockets. And yeah. So does Brian K. Vaughan.
Well, and I think that was what led to Private Eye getting a hardcover.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. So I'm sure they, it was kind of funny, though. I'm just hearing him say this will never be printed. So, go ahead and do this. And then here we are reading the hardcovers. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anytime you say something's never going to happen, I mean, that's why I try never to speak in absolutes like that.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's foolish.
By the way, with Future State, and they had a story coming out, and they said afterwards, basically all the continuity is going to count, possibly, and the omni-continuity, or I can't remember.
I forget what term they'd used, if it was like a omniverse, or what was the term there?
I can't remember the term now for the life of me, but it was Omni something. I'm going to see if I can go click the
Omniversal continuity.
Yeah, which was very confusing. I was like, what the heck is this? But do you have thoughts on that?
Yes.
Okay, tell me what your thoughts are.
It's not the first time we've seen it. It's the first time we've heard that term, but Marvel used a similar mindset at one point where it's kind of, continuity will just sort itself out. I think in DC's case, it seems to be an admission of defeat that they can't maintain their continuity and they don't understand it themselves. And with this kind of everything happens, one, you can say that all the stories you printed had happened in various worlds and whatnot, but they cannot not all be part of the same singular universe continuity.
Yeah.
Either Superman's parents are alive or they are dead. They cannot be both.
Well, I know.
If you could argue that the Kents are alive and the L's are dead, but that's not what I mean, and I think you all know that. Trying to play that fast and loose with continuity, because, it just matters if it's a good story. Well, if you were telling really good stories, you wouldn't have messed up continuity so much.
Very true. And the way they worded it, it almost sounds like they're going to be a lot looser with continuity. Oh, that doesn't matter, because it could have all happened. And I'm just like, I wonder if people who really enjoy continuity, that'll be a major turnoff for them.
I want to quibble with one term you used in there.
Okay.
Going, as in future tense.
Oh, yeah.
They're already doing it.
Yeah, that's true. Now they're just officially stating it.
Yeah, this is not a new change for them. They've had multiple narrative universes going on concurrently for a while now between Deceased, White Knight, you know, the mainstream DC stuff. I'm sure if I gave it a little thought, I could probably come up with a couple of other parallel universes they've got going. I mean, if you want to count the Earth One hardcovers and such. So I think they've really kind of fractured their line, and then add in the all ages type stuff they're doing with radically different takes on their characters and such. If they want to do it, that's fine. And I think there are ways you can do it and make it work. But to basically say, you know what, we're just going to let continuity kind of fend for itself, that's how things unravel. And it really basically means you don't really have a cohesive shared universe. So if I like one title, why should I even consider any of the others? They're kind of disconnected now.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's going to be, I guess the counter to that, what they're thinking is, someone like me who is continuity light, I won't have to know, and it doesn't matter that I don't know that, because the only thing that matters is what's happening now. But at the same time, I think that'll turn off the longtime reader.
But that's not an aspect of continuity. That's an aspect of storytelling and accessibility. You
Very
can
true.
Tell a story set, steeped in continuity, and tell it in an accessible way to where you don't feel like you have to have your PhD in the DC mythology or the Marvel mythology to understand it.
Correct. Yeah. It would, in continuity, people wonder why it matters. You know, like, I'm trying to think, you know, let's say Rick dies in The Walking Dead, and then the next chapter, or then, you know, 10 issues later, he's up walking around and everything's fine. And they're like, oh, well, that doesn't matter because this and that. It does matter. You know, that why did I read that story?
Well,
why did I care? Why do I care?
If continuity doesn't matter to somebody and they're a sports fan, you got to ask them, why do you keep score?
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
Because if the plays are good, that's really all that matters.
That's, you know what, that's the best analogy I ever heard. Because why keep score? Yeah, we keep score because we need to know what happened on the previous plays and why this matters today, right
because
now, this play.
There need to be consequences to actions for the actions to hold meaning.
That makes perfect sense to me.
And it's part of why, like, with the Batman story of, oh, well, he's financially strapped now. Okay, we've seen this sort of back-to-basics approach or what have you time and time again. If it plays within continuity and, like it's doing now, there's a story reason for it, however thin it may be, that's better than just, hey, we've decided to just chuck the money and go this direction this time.
Yeah. Billionaires aren't popular, so we're going to make him a carpenter or something.
There's a way you could make that work, I imagine. I'd have to give it some thought, but yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Well, and having continuity doesn't mean you can't change things up. Marvel has continuity. They shook it up significantly with the House of X, Powers of X, and they revitalized the whole X-Men franchise. But
without doing away with it or changing what happened before.
Well, and this would not work if they had chucked the previous continuity.
Very true. Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have, oh, well, I know these characters from these things and their backstory, and they wouldn't have the character moments to play off of if they ditched the continuity.
I agree. Yeah. Interesting. So going forward, does that make you a little less excited for the other side of Future State?
Or are you okay? I'm excited nor unexcited about it because I don't know what's on the other side of it.
We still don't know. We should know in about a month or so.
Another couple of weeks. We'll see the solicits. It'll get leaked out before then, no doubt. So probably around Thanksgiving time. Maybe, yeah, thereabouts. At which point it comes down to, does it look good? They throw in the baby out with the bathwater. What are they doing? I don't know.
Fingers crossed, because I actually, you know, when DC is, when there's good writers writing good stories, I was enjoying myself quite a bit. But it seems like the things that I was enjoying the most, they kind of changed their creative team or got rid of it, which was disappointing to me because I didn't have that long love of the character. So I'm like, now you change it and now I don't like it. It was easier for me to drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm hoping they come out with some good stuff and reinvigorates my love.
Sure. Hope so. I love the DC characters, the classic versions and some of the newer versions and such. But until they can get a sensibility, a storytelling style and stuff that I like, and can keep me engaged, which they're having a hard time doing these days. I honestly don't know what I'll be getting, you know, 6 months from now at DC.
I can see that. Yeah.
So,
very true.
We shall see.
Well, We shall see. Fingers crossed for good things.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else?
Nah, that does it for me.
Cool.
The December 2020 previews came out on November 25th, and the deadline for preview spotlight number 157 is the morning of Saturday, December 5th, 2020. Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the preview spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website. And a quick reminder that we've also got the recommendation roundtable episodes going. The point of those episodes is to help people find other ways to spend their time. So send in pics of comic books, either older ones, back issues, trades, whatever, novels, television shows, movies, video games, if there's a board game you think people might really enjoy or something. Let's get that out there. We've got a lot of ways we can spend our time in helping people find things that they might be interested in. It's just a great thing to do. I've gotten a lot of clips from Billy Hogan. I want to thank him for that. It reminded me that I should really go reread Astro City and put a few other things kind of back on my radar, including a couple of novels he recommended. I've added those to my reading list. We'll see when I get to them. But we've got no deadline for these episodes. The way these episodes work is you send in one clip per pick, and that could be a particular book or video game or TV show, or it could be a series of books. Anything that's kind of a unified thing. And when I get enough of those clips, I'll string them together, I'll kick out an episode. So that means if I get tons of clips, like when Billy sent me about, I don't know, an hour and 45 minutes of some great clips, that was enough for me to get two episodes put together, about an hour for one and about 45 minutes or so for the other. So that's what episodes 2 and 3 are. But if I don't get clips, it may be a while before that next episode comes out. And the reason I'm doing this is there are a lot of things hitting like the streaming services and stuff like that on not really a set cadence like we've got for the preview spotlight. So if you wake up one morning and say, you know what, there's a bunch of stuff I think people might enjoy, spend a few minutes, send in the clips, they get in the queue. And if it's another few months before you do the next one, that's great. But hopefully we have enough people sending in clips on a regular enough basis that we can be putting one of these episodes out every month, every other month, or something like that. So once again, the point here is just to recommend older comic books, novels, television shows, movies, video games, or anything else that doesn't really fit the format of the preview spotlight, but that you really want to kind of share your love of and encourage other people to check out. So once again, there's no deadline on those recommendation roundtable clips. It's an open invitation for everybody at all times. So please send in clips when you've got something you're thinking about and share the love. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.